Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, those who tune in to Radio 4, Radio 7, the World Service, the Internet, anywhere you receive us, you are so welcome, and we love playing to you. And also a huge pleasure to welcome four exciting, attractive, I'd like to say even glamorous, but anyway, skilled players of the game, who once more have come together just for your pleasure and benefit to show their verbal dexterity and demonstrate their humorous ingenuity as they speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four exciting people are Paul Merton, and Clement Freud on my right, and Julian Clary and Lisa Tarbuck on my left. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who's going to help me with the score, and she's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Drill Hall, and it's one of the hottest nights of the year, but our steaming audience here have braved the weather to come in and cheer us on our way as we start the show with Clement Freud. Clement, loose talk. That is the subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
I'm not very knowledgeable about technical matters, but I think talk is the force that does something to vibration, and I'm not at all sure whether a loose talk is more vibratory than a tight talk. Talking is also something which happens when you open your mouth and words come out. And many times have I heard people say, he is one of the loosest talkers I've heard. You're looking at me.
You challenged.
Well, the actual final challenge was hesitation, but yes. It was all a bit worrying before that. Anyway.
I know. Yes, we were all four looking at him in amazement. We were trying to decipher what he was talking about, but he did hesitate, yes, Julian. So you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 28 seconds available. Loose talk starting now.
Loose talk is really equated with dangerous talk, in my mind. Just supposing Winston Churchill had gone down the pub on the Friday before D-Day and said, I'm going to fight them on the beaches in a couple of days' time.
A Paul Merton challenge.
He wasn't from Leeds. I'm going to fight them on the beaches. What's all this? Winston Churchill never spoke like they didn't speak like
well,
that, did he, Nicholas?
I don't think he was a great person.
He was incognito.
Was
it? Yeah. He might have gone down and tried to fraternise and make himself
Winston
more available.
Churchill goes down the pub on a Friday night and speaks in a northern accent.
Look, yeah. It's a bizarre thought, him going on a pub on a Friday night, so it's equally bizarre to think he put on a northern accent to order fraternise with the people and make him think he was one of them. So I accept the fact that it's possible he could have done such a thing if you accept the premise that he did go down to the pub on a Friday night just before D-Day. So having accepted your premise, Julian, the audience agree with me. You have a point for an incorrect challenge. You have 16 seconds still. Loose talk starting now.
My point is simple, if you can manage to grasp it. Loose talk can be very dangerous indeed. The outcome of the war could have been radically affected. I said to Lisa before we started this recording, have you seen that geezer in leather trousers who's just walked through? Fancy wearing those kind of clothes.
This game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Julian Clary. In fact, he's the only one to get any points in that round, and so he's in a solo lead ahead of the other three. Lisa Tarbuck, will you take the next round?
Certainly.
Lisa, the subject is organic food. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Much has been said regarding organic food, but the fact remains that food grown without chemical interference has got to be better for you. Sweeter tomatoes, for one thing, they invoke a calm feeling on your insides. GM crops v organic, I know who the winner is. Last year, I put 15 bags of pig manure in my back garden, spread it lovingly around, much to the amusement of the neighbours, and my courgettes ran and trotted across the garden in the sweetest and...
Clement Challenge.
We have different garden.
Yes, you talked about garden.
Yes,
you did say that about garden, yes. I love the idea of... Your neighbours must have loved you when all that pig manure went down, didn't they? 22 seconds are available still, Clement. You have a correct challenge, a point, and organic food starting now.
I'm not too sure about organic food because I can't taste one from the other. Frequently, people have given me Brussels sprouts or beans or cabbages and said, which of this sample do you think is organic and which not? I've said which three times.
Julian, challenge.
Two witches, which is not.
So, Julian, you're in there with 7 seconds only on organic food starting now.
Prince Charles likes organic food, and from the look of him, it hasn't done him much good. I don't like grubby looking.
Paul, you've challenged.
Two hymns quite quickly.
Two hymns quite quickly, yes. Pity, because you got a good laugh, didn't you? Right. And you, Paul, got in with only 1 second to go on organic food starting now.
Butternut squash.
So Paul Merton got the point for speaking as the whistle went. He's in second place behind Julian Clary. And Julian, it's your turn to begin the subject. Something close to your heart, I'm sure. Walking the dog. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I walk the dog twice a day, generally speaking, in Regent's Park. I go mincing clockwise in the morning and anti in that direction of an afternoon. Valerie is my walking companion and she meets all her chums there. There's a Jack Russell called Frank and a pug called Maureen, a Labrador, and we don't know her name. She's not particularly friendly and we don't like the look in her eye. They're too highly bred. But I'm very meticulous about clearing up the mess. I take a selection of plastic bags, and as soon as she's finished, before it's even cooled off, I scoop it off the grass, because I'm very public-minded. Nowadays, they put special bins with little flaps, and you can eat...
Paul challenged.
How's a dog expected to use one of these bins?
No, I think we did realise it was the dog's stuff that Julian had picked up that went in the bin, and not Julian, and not the dog who's in the bin. And 16 seconds are available, Julian, on walking the dog, starting now.
I have a personal assistant who follows a few yards behind, and if it's a particularly messy offering from my daughter, as I like to call her, it's not really a blood relation, but you know what I'm saying, then she will do the honours. She goes home and washes her hands...
Paul challenge.
Three she's.
Yes, there were three she's there,
yes. Three she's and three hymns.
Yes. And you've got him with half a second to go, Paul. Oh. You're very clever at this, aren't you?
I must be a severe disappointment to you.
No, they were just enjoying it and they felt justice wasn't done because Julian talked on the subject from the beginning to the end and you got him with half a second to go. He'll get no points at all and you'll get one for speaking as a whistlemate. But that is the irony of just a minute. So, Paul, half a second, walking the dog, starting now.
Walking the...
Oh, Clement, you challenge.
Hesitation.
No. Give Clement a bonus point because they enjoyed what he did and Paul's still got a quarter of a second on walking the dog, starting now.
Go to the park!
Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is drilling. Can you tell us something about drilling in just a minute, starting now?
This was something that goes on in the army. If I'd been old enough, I'd have been in national service. I suppose that stopped about 1962, I believe. And I would have been expected to march up and down on the parade ground while some sergeant major bellowed out orders. I was expected to follow these.
Julian challenge.
Wasn't he expected twice?
Yes, you expected twice. Yes, you did expect twice. And 46 seconds back with you, Julian. Drilling. Starting now.
Drilling is an activity that men wearing no shirts do in roads to pass the time. I happen to live in the most drilled road in London, and that's no mistake, I can tell you. Why do you think I bought the house in the first place? They drill away and they fix pipes and things, and occasionally there's an explosion and the road floods, and then there's more men with no shirts at all.
Clement challenge.
A lack of shirts.
Shirts and men,
and
yes.
Men,
but there can't be too many men in Julian's life, I suppose. Really. 22 seconds on drilling with you, Clement, starting now.
It's what dentists used to do all the time. Open your mouth, put out your tongue, and they drill. Drill.
Julian challenge.
They don't drill your tongue.
No. No dentist asks you to put out your tongue.
Mine does.
I would leave.
Clemence does.
I would leave him immediately if I were you. Your tongue, really. You can't get your teeth or your tongues out anyway. No, it's only on the bottom set. I agree with your challenge, Julian. Drilling's back with you, 15 seconds starting now.
There was one occasion where there was drilling in the area in which I live, and I went to the foreman and I said, look, how much longer is this going to go on? He said, we'll finish Friday, but we start again on Monday at the other end. I said, this is ridiculous. Drilling, 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 constantly.
Lisa, that was Charles.
Me. It was a complete error of drilling, 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 wasn't it? Because that, not in allowed. Fact, is
that
the title.
The card, yes. If
I'm
you'd
a
gone,
fool.
If you'd done two more, I might have given it to you, but no, it is on the card. Mm. 1 second left with you, Julian, drilling. Starting now.
The asphalt was...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Julian Clary. Lisa Tarbuck, will you take the next round?
Certainly.
And it's coincidence. Lisa, tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I don't believe in coincidences, as I think everything happens for a reason. After an alleged...
Julian, challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yeah. Julian, yes. Coincidences with you, and there are 55 seconds starting now.
By sheer coincidence, my friend Hector and I once turned up at the same nightclub, and would you believe, we both went home with the same man. That's where the coincidences stopped. But it is uncanny the way nature seems to dole out these extraordinary...
Lisa Chance.
Hesitation.
Yes. Hesitation, Lisa, yes. Coincidence is back with you. 39 seconds available, starting now.
Clear.
Four. Challenge.
Well, sort of major hesitation, really.
Major, right. Major or minor, it was a hesitation. 37 seconds, Paul. Coincidence starting now.
When coincidences happen, they can be quite charming, and sometimes they make you think that life is more than just what we perceive on this earth. Clement is looking at me now with love in his eyes, and who can blame him? Because me and...
Julian, challenge.
Well, that's irrelevant, really. It's a deviation for Clement's looking
it's
at him.
Personal.
It's no coincidence.
Well, I don't know. There could be a coincidence. No, I think, Paul, you have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion. And you have 24 seconds on coincidence starting now.
They are amazing things, and they make you believe that perhaps there is an existence beyond what we can see here. For example, I once had the most amazing coincidence where I went to a nightclub and I was picked up both by Julian and his friend Hector. And it was, the three of us went back to his place and played Scrabble in the nude and drank Horlicks until dawn. She was the cleaner, she turned up at 4:30 and chucked us out, but I still remember those nights.
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle man gained that extra point and he's moved forward. He's only one behind our leader, Julian Clary, and they're both a few points ahead of Clement Freud and Lisa Tarbuck. And Julian, your turn to begin the subject now. Julius Caesar. You brought a lot of history into the show, and last time you were here, tell us something about this amazing man in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Julius Caesar was known for having thighs like tree trunks, and everyone in the Roman Empire said, oh, you're gorgeous, Julius Caesar. We'd like you to be our leader. And he wasn't that keen, but in the end he crumbled and he approached the throne, he sat upon it, and, you know, he rather liked the feeling. He started to wave at his public and he said, cut his head off over there. He's looking at me in a funny way. And that's how he carried on, really. He was a very primitive sort, but he had very interesting bone structure, which people admired far and wide. He conquered all of Europe, mainly with his cheekbones. He had a few tattoos.
Poor challenge.
Repetition of cheekbones.
Yes, his cheekbones, yes.
Did I say it twice?
Yes, you did.
Well, there's one on each side.
I know, I know. No, you mentioned his cheekbones, and Maimon loved his cheekbones, and he conquered with his cheekbones. And I've only given deviation for conquering with his cheekbones, actually. Julius Caesar's with you, Paul. 18 seconds available, starting now.
The salad was created specifically to commemorate his coming to Britain in the year 55 BC. And what an extraordinary event it was. He was greeted at the shore by the fellow Britons that had been standing by, and they looked at him and they said, you will be our great leader. We will rock you.
Julian Chance. Julian Chance.
For two leaders.
Yes, you will be our leader. And two leaders. There were two leaders, weren't there?
I think so.
Yeah, well, I only said leader once.
Oh, did you? Right,
I think
okay.
You said leader.
He said leader before, and you only said it once.
Yeah.
So it's an incorrect challenge, and you have 3 seconds on Julius Caesar, Paul, starting now.
As leaders go, you must... leaders?
Leaders and leader before. So, Clement, an incorrect challenge. 2 seconds with you, Paul, another point, of course. Julius Caesar, starting now.
Et tu, Brute, he cried as a knife plunged.
So, with other points in the round and one for speakers a whistle away, and Paul Merton has leapt ahead and just gone ahead of Julian Clary and Clement Freud and Lisa in that order. And Paul, it's back with you to start, and the subject is the art of listening. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I think the art of interviewing is about the art of listening. If you ask a question based on the previous answer, there is a flow towards the discourse that goes on between two people. The art of listening sometimes is just to have a very patient look on your face and go, ah, yes, every 5 seconds, just to indicate that you are following this narrative, and people will come...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes. You did repeat people before. Clement, you've got a correct challenge. You have 37
popular
seconds.
Popular challenge, wasn't it?
The art of listening is with you, starting now.
The art of listening gets you very few points in just a minute. I just listened to Paul Merton talking about Julius Caesar, who was very keen on soothsayers, and it reminded me of a constituency garden fete.
Julian, challenge.
A deviation.
Why?
Well, he's not talking about the art of listening.
Well, I think he was conveying the soothsayers. You have to listen to soothsayers.
They I thought he was talking about Julius Caesar using the thoughts he'd had for the previous round in this round.
But I was listening.
But he was listening. And no, I think... No, he conveyed to me that he brought it back to Julius Caesar. Soothsayers, you listen to soothsayers because they have something important to tell you. So you have to have the ability to listen. I'm with you on this one, Clement. So you have 24 seconds on the art of listening starting now.
The art of listening is practiced by fortune tellers. I had one at a garden party in my constituency. I said this before, but...
And Paul challenged.
You said this before.
I know
it.
It
was after I was challenged.
No, I don't think so. I
yes,
think
it was.
Was it really?
Mm. Can I just tell you about this fortune
teller? Yeah, go on. Yeah.
She sent a letter saying, due to unforeseen circumstances, I will not be able to attend your garden party.
Give Clement Freud a point because they enjoyed what he said. Paul gets a point because he got a correct challenge, and he takes over the subject with 8 seconds, the art of listening, starting now.
The art of listening is to be concentrating fully on the person that you are talking to and listening to what they're saying.
So Paul Merton's increased his lead. He's just ahead of Julian Clary, and then Clement Freud's catching up on Julian's in 1 point behind. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the GNU. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
A GNU is the singular of GNUs. And I listen to the 6 o'clock and the one at 8 and 9. I'm very keen on Trevor MacDonald, who is in fact a knight, and prefer him to many other GNU's readers. A GNU is also an animal. I forget exactly where it comes from in Africa, but it comes...
Lisa, you challenge.
Comes.
It, yes, there were 2 comes there. And so you have 34 seconds. Tell us something about the GNU starting now.
It's also known as a wildebeest, or it's a sort of antelope, ox-like head with a tufty tail. It is found in Africa, yes. And it doesn't rhyme with anything, but it's great for Scrabble, unless you're saving your GNN for the I that might come and increase your score later. The GNU likes nothing better than to dress up in ladies' skirts with veils on the top and possibly a floral garland to hide its bosom, strolling liberally this way and that, searching for small grubs to Oh, I was nearly there.
They loved it. Paul.
Repetition of none.
Yes. Yeah. And you have 4 seconds only to tell us something. But it is the game, you know. Paul, 4 seconds, the GNU starting now.
Flanders and Swann had a huge hit with their song about the GNU, which they first made in 1963.
So Paul's increases lead. Extra points because the whistle went. And Ernest, Julian, Clary, Clement Freud and Lisa Tarbuck in that order. And Lisa, your turn to begin. The subject, fishing. I don't know whether you are a fisherwoman or whether you're interested in that sport, but talk about it. 60 seconds starting now.
There is nothing I like better than getting up at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning, grabbing a big box of lugworms and going down to a gravel pit to look in vain for a 35-pound tench, which, if you do catch it, is full of slime, so you have to put them back and stick things down the throat to get these little silver things that you've put your bait on out of their gobs and move on to the next fish, which could in fact be a pike. It could be a
Julian challenge.
Two coulds.
Yes, yeah. Could be, yes, right.
Make a right.
Julian, yes, and I was squirming then with all the disgusting things you were doing. 33 seconds, Julian, on fishing, starting now.
I once sat on a riverbank and pulled out an 8-pounder, much to the delight of my fellow fishermen. I threw it back in from whence it came, and then I got bored, because that's what people don't know about fishing. You know, I'd rather stick pins in my eyes than ever do it again. I sat there with my rod in my hand from morning till night, and I just glazed over in the fullness of time, not allowed to read a book or anything in case your line starts to twitch. Sea fishing, on the other hand, is a much more
So Julian Clary is speaking as the whistle went gained the extra point. He's catching up on our leader, Paul Merton. He's ahead of Clement Freud and Lisa. And Julian, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is fate. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
It's Prince William's fate to become king in the fullness of time. But just supposing he didn't accept his fate and he wanted to become a male stripper, for example, what would the nation do? This poor boy, since the day he's been born, has been told that this is his fate. I wouldn't accept it if I were him. I would say, I'm going to break out on my own and do my own thing. And if he gave all his money away...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of own.
Yes, that's true. Well done, Paul. And you've got in with 25 seconds on fate starting now.
Of course, it is the fate of us all to be here at the end of just a minute to hear the final scores read out by the urbane Nicholas Parsons. That means he lives in the town. What a wonderful man he is. It is indeed our collected fate to be here when those points are announced.
Julian Challenge.
At 2 years.
There were 2 years. It's our fate to be here and yes. At the end, right. And Julian, you got back in with 7 seconds on fate, starting now.
It's Prince Harry's fate.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of Prince.
Prince, you had Prince before, Prince Charles, Prince Andrew, and Prince Harry. Right, 5 seconds, Paul, on fate, starting now.
I went to the chiropodist the other day because I was having this most incredible difficulty trying to get my shoes on.
Right. So Paul Merton has increased his lead at the end of that round, an extra point, speaking as a whistle went. Let me give you the final situation as we move into the final round. Lisa Tarbuck at the moment is trailing just a little in fourth place, but she gives great value. Clement Freud is in second place behind Julian Clary, and he's a few points behind our leader, who is still Paul Merton, and Clement is challenged. You challenged, Clement?
Yes. Could I be in third place if there are two people in front of me?
Right. You're in third place, with two people in front of you, yes, that's right. Paul, would you take the last round? It is, the subject is mug. Tell us something about mug in this game, starting now.
Mug can be a colloquialism for face. If we didn't have faces, how would we recognise each other? We'd wander around and we'd be a bit of flesh just in front of our heads and we wouldn't be able to see whether it was somebody that we had known before or perhaps a completely different individual. Mug is also something you can do when you rob people. Physical violence in the street. You go up to them and say, I want your wallet, trousers and everything else in between. They hand this over to you and you have, in fact, mugged them. Another...
Clement. Challenge.
What happens if you have your wallet in your trousers?
Well, if you've got the trousers, they've got the wallet as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was a reason to get the trousers, to get the wallet.
And everything in between them.
Yeah.
What I was worrying about.
Well, if you're worried about it, I don't think it makes much difference to the show. Paul has 33 seconds on mug starting now.
Also, it's a vessel for drinking liquid out of. You can go down to the pub and say, I want my favourite mug hanging over the bar. And when you ask the barman, he will pour beer into this mug and you will knock it back and you will be able to say that as my personalised mug. And people...
Lisa challenged.
I do challenge, because I'd have thought that it should be stated that mug was an old word, because if you went and did that now, they wouldn't put it in a mug, would they?
Well, they do come next way to a mug. It's a tankard, really, isn't it?
But then you'd say tankard.
I know, but some people might refer to it as
I don't actually want the subject. However... Well,
I'll tell you what we do. Paul's got a commanding lead,
yes.
And there are 17 seconds to go. I'm sure you don't mind if Lisa finishes. Right, so, you see? Paul's always very generous in this game. And we'd love to hear from you on mug, Lisa, with 17 seconds, starting now.
Right now, I feel...
Paul challenged.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
No hesitation at all. You've got another point, Lisa. And you've got 16 seconds, starting now.
On my forehead is one word. It is mug. I jumped into...
Paul challenged.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, let her... I think she was intimidated, so 10 seconds on mug, Lisa, starting now.
My favourite mug at home is a wide-brimmed one that I like to have coffee in. On the side, it says love. This I can sip out of with... Oh, I'm talking rubbish. I'm really not working.
Lisa's rubbish kept her going to the whistle when gained that extra point. And to give you the final score, she now therefore finished up with those points she
first.
Got with my help in a very respectful fourth place. No, it was a very strong fourth place, very strong fourth place. And she was just 2 points behind Clement Freud, who was in a very, very commanding third place. And he was 3 or 4 points behind Julian, who was in an excellent second place. But out in the lead with really far more points than has ever been scored in one round, in one session, I should say, of just a minute, was Paul Merton. So, Paul, once again, you are the winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Lisa Tarbuck, and Clement Freud. I thank Claire Bartlett, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle with such delicacy. Also, we thank our producer, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in the Drill Hall. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.